Surprise. Good morning. I almost forgot to come up. Thanks to Tom for asking me to come up here, to invite me to teach. When he first asked me, I was like Josh, and I said Abraham for a week. He did too, but it was what the Lord directed. And it has been incredible, hasn't it? We were singing the songs and hearing manifestations, and it's like, man, are we blessed? We are so blessed. God has given us so much, and he has given us each other. I also thank my husband, Ray, for helping me do this teaching, because it wasn't where it was supposed to be, and this body of Christ is amazing. To help each other and to humble ourselves before what God is actually working. Don't turn to Genesis, because we're going to go to Romans 4. I know you were expecting Genesis, but I was asked to teach Romans 4. And Romans 4 is about the faith of Abraham in the New Testament. God showing us and teaching us by way of his example. And he's going to teach us that righteousness is received by, it's by faith, not by works. He's going to teach us that righteousness is available to everyone. Nobody's left out. He's going to declare us righteous also by faith when we believe what God tells us, that Jesus died for our sins and was raised back to life for our justification. And in Romans 1, it begins, Romans 4, in verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? What shall we say then that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has discovered in this matter? What matter? It starts with kind of like a therefore thing. But we have to look back a little bit at Romans 3 to catch the context of this. And in Romans 3, if you just turn back a page, in verse 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. I'm in King James for this one. I'd probably be mostly in NIV, but for this, it's King James. So, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. There's no difference. And in Romans 3, there's three questions that are brought up at the end of the chapter. And it's, where is boasting? And is God the God of just the Jews or of the Gentiles also? And does this law, do we make void the law by this faith? Do we count it no good or not? Is it obsolete? And God's going to answer these questions for us and teach us something by way of Abraham's example in chapter 4. So, chapter 4, verse 1. Again, what shall then we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter regarding righteousness? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? What does it say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation, right? So you go get a job, right? You agree to work for so much money. We all know this. So when somebody gives you a check, is that a gift? No, it's a, you agreed to do it, right? It's a payment. Righteousness is not. It's not a payment. We could never work hard enough to receive it, ever. We're people. We were born with sin from Adam, unfortunately. It's not fair, is it? It's not. It's not fair that I'm short, but you know what? It's my parents, and Abraham is our parent. You know, we got something from him, and it's not fair, but it is what it is. And we did inherit sin from him. So we don't get it by anything that we could be good enough, because we can't. It's beyond our ability. We can never be good enough. Verse 5, however, to the one who does not work but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of this blessedness, of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from the works, apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against him. How was Abraham credited with righteousness? He believed God, right? That's what we've been seeing all along for the last couple days and evening. We've gone in the credited with righteousness. We've been, for those who don't know it, we've gone over this a lot, but credited with righteousness. So Abraham was credited. Had Jesus Christ come yet and paid the price for all sin? Not yet. But yet God credited him with righteousness. It's like using a credit card. So I go to the store and I buy something and I pay with a credit card. Did I actually really pay for it? Not yet, but I get it. I pay for it later when the bill's due, hopefully. So Abraham was credited with righteousness by believing what God told him. God knew the payment would be made in full later, right? These verses answer the first question in chapter 3, where is boasting then? You know, if God didn't want, why did God put this question here? You know, where is boasting? Do you think maybe, and it's in the New Testament, you know, it's to us. So do you think that maybe we occasionally will have a temptation of boasting in ourselves? Like saying, whew, I'm so good. I'm so great. Look at me. Look what I've done. You know, I got to make a name for myself. I have to leave a legacy. Well, if it wasn't a temptation, God wouldn't put it in here. But he says there's no room for boasting. We have no right to boast because there's nothing we've ever done good enough to merit anything from God, much less being made totally righteous and totally holy. We couldn't do it. It's only by his simple grace, and just like what we've been learning, it's by faith, saying, yes, God, you did this, I believe what you say, and I will accept it. Faith, faith alone, Christ alone. You and I receive righteousness by faith and faith alone, by simply believing what God said, same as Abraham. The second question, is God the God of the Jews only? Or is he God of the Gentiles also? So another thing, why does God ask this question? Do we have a problem with Jews or Gentiles pretty much in this day and time? Not really. Since Abraham, God worked with a particular people. He chose a people to work with so he could bring a Savior into this world. They were Israel, it was Abraham's descendant, the father of believing. You know, he was going to choose a people and work with these people to bring about something that he planned since Genesis 3:15 when man sinned. And these people were called Jews, Israel. And they thought, we're God's people, you're not. You know, we're circumcised, you're not. We have the right to receive God's promise, you don't. You know, we're something special because we're God's people. We were circumcised. Well, we're going to see that circumcision really doesn't matter. Circumcision is a matter of the heart, not a matter of the flesh. So let's see what God says. In chapter 4, verse 9, it says, is this blessedness? Well, this blessedness refers back to where we left off. This blessedness is the righteousness we receive by faith. So is this righteousness received by faith and not by works only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We've been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. So verse 10, under what circumstances? When was this? When was he credited with righteousness? Was it after he was circumcised? Nope. Last night we left off when Katie was teaching that Abraham was how old when he was circumcised? Yeah, 99. You know, God credited him with righteousness long before that time. You know, righteousness was a sign, a seal of the righteousness he had by faith. You know, so, and I guess we don't say Jews and Gentiles, but maybe we say, I'm in this church, isn't it the best one? How can they? Or, you know, I don't know. I was raised that my church was the only one, and I felt sorry for the people up the street that weren't of that denomination because I didn't know if they were going to go to heaven or not. Of course, I didn't know if I was either because you had to be good enough. but under what circumstances was it credited? It was when it was before he was ever circumcised. And in verse 11, he received the circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. This is incredible. God figured this thing out long, 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 long ago. So then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised in order that the righteousness might be credited to them. Is that me? Is that most of all of us? You know, all of us, I mean, maybe, never mind. But as far as circumcision by law, you know, that's most of us. We weren't Jewish. We weren't Israel. But God provided a way, and he provided a way long, long, long ago to show us exactly who we are and what he's done. In verse 12, it says, and he then is also the father of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So did you note that it says not only circumcised, but follow in the footsteps of faith that Abraham had? So circumcision or uncircumcision, that's not really the issue. The issue is circumcision of the heart. Do I have faith? Do I take God's word? When I open this book, like we sang today, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the almighty God, you know, when I look at everything he's made and I bow before him because he is God. I look at the words. He gave us these words to make known himself, to make known what life is all about, who we are, what he's given us. So when I open these words in a day, do I say, oh, these are God's words? You know, do I pray before I open them? Do I just open them because I was told I was supposed to? I should. Life will be better if I do. You know, these words we've been seeing, they are powerful. And they go where God directs. They can pierce to the center of our heart, and they can help us because God loves us, like we've heard. He just loves us. He loves us so much. He's given us these words to believe that we can have faith like Abraham and receive the righteousness, the holiness, which he only offers. I think I got a little sidetracked. So Romans 4, 9-12 points out that Abraham was credited with righteousness many years before he was circumcised. He received it by faith, by simply believing what God said. And then in verse 11 and 12, it said that Abraham is the father of all who believe, whether circumcised or not. And the only stipulation was that, you know, you walk by faith. Well, he's the father of all who believe. Remember God's promise way back when in Genesis 12:3, when he said, what did he say exactly? I'll make you, all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you, right? And this is what has happened. God has fulfilled this. Abraham is the father of all who believe. And we are a people that have been blessed immensely by this promise fulfilled. So what are the words that God asks us to believe today? I mean, we're working with Abraham, and we'll still continue in Abraham, but this is in the New Testament, and God has something for us here to believe. the words that God gives us today, what words does he give us to show our faith? I mean, how do we show our faith? By the words he's given us. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it reads, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved." Why do we need that? Why does anybody need that? Because we were born with sin, right? We couldn't get out of it. But God provided a way through this Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to make a sacrifice of his life for us and to pay for sin in total. Total. If you believe that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Verse 10, "For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." How about John chapter 3? These are words God gave us because he loves us, because he wants to be our Father, because he wants us to be in his presence, because he wants us to live with him, to walk by the faith, not by everything else we see, but by faith, what he says is true. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Are we blessed? Are we honored? Did we do anything? Do you see anything about any works in there, like that I have to do? I didn't see anything. All I saw was believe. That's the only stipulation for this righteousness and salvation that we receive. Do you know anybody that doesn't know if they're going to heaven or not? I used to think that. Why, you know, how am I going to get to heaven? I've never been good enough. I've talked to people, and, you know, they don't know if they're going to heaven. What does God say how you get there? It's simply by faith, right? By believing that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, that he is the way to God and the way to salvation and righteousness. That's the only way. And it's all by faith. It's not by anybody being good enough, because we know that nobody ever could. We believe these words from God and receive his promise of righteousness, of salvation, of justification. God's promise of righteousness is received by faith and by faith alone through Christ and Christ alone. Nothing that I could ever do or be good enough to receive. And then God asked this question. Do we nullify or make void or do away with the law by this faith? You know, do we consider it, is it no good anymore? Is it void? Is it worthless? Romans 4:13. God asked these reasons for, these questions for a reason. And it says in verse 13, it says, 4:13, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. You know, the law was given way after Abraham, right? It was given to Moses. The promise that he gave to Moses that he'd be heir of the world and all the blessings that he has to give was way before that. It wasn't by the law. It wasn't by being good enough. It was by simple faith. Verse 14, "For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression." So was this promise given through the law? It was by faith. That's absolutely amazing, because God figured out how to redeem man without any merit of his own. Aren't you thankful? No merit of our own. He figured it out. And God knew that it had to be given and received by grace in order for anyone to be able to receive that promise. And righteousness is received by faith. God says he gave us his son as a sacrifice for our sin. And we say, yes, I know I am sinful. I remember me. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, Lori taught out of Ephesians, and, you know, it was about the chapter 6, about the armor of God and, you know, the battle that we're a part of that's a spiritual battle. But then she also went all the way back to the beginning, and in that it was talking about, and I think it was chapter 2, we were all, I wasn't very good, okay? There were things that I did that I would be ashamed of at this point. I didn't know I should be ashamed of it when I was doing it because everybody was doing it. You know, it was just how you were. But when I look back at what God has made me, the person that he's made me, righteous, holy, you know, living as a righteous one, living with God's divine nature, you know, I wasn't any good. And it came to the point where I gave up on myself and said, okay, God, I know what I am. And this is what you're reaching out with me for, you know, to me with, that you can take care of me, that you can make me righteous, you can make me holy, this vile person that I am, and you can make me okay. Why wouldn't I say yes to that? You know, why not? It can make me cry. God is so good, you know, and this is what he's done for us. He's shown us by Abraham's example that righteousness is received by anyone who believes what God says. That's faith. You know, doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter who you were. God says anyone who accepts my son as payment for their sin can receive the righteousness of mine. You can be righteous like me. You can have the nature that I have. Isn't that amazing? I mean, totally, totally amazing. Back to Romans 4, and in verse 16, it says, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace. Has to be by grace. And may be guaranteed, this is amazing, and it may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. That was a long ago promise, and now it's fulfilled. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead, and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. We haven't really gotten there yet, have we? But this is what Abraham did. He did consider his age. He did consider Sarah was beyond the point of having children. Against all hope, verse 18, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. This is what God told him. This is what he believed. So shall your offspring be. And without weakening in faith, he faced the fact that his body was good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Look up, right? Look up. Eyes off myself. I'm nothing without God. You know, you got to look up and give the glory to God. How awesome. What a great almighty God he is. He is so powerful, and he is way beyond our ability. You know, this promise that he gave Abraham this was impossible. You know, it was just not possible. But is God Almighty? Can God do the impossible? Can he fulfill his promise and what he says is true? He can bring to pass? Because that's God. We are not. We cannot do these things, but God can. So what promise and what does God tell me? What does he tell you in a day? You know, walking by faith is not easy, is it? It's not, you know, but because we're so surrounded by everything else in this world, you know, it, like Marta was, there's no standard, you know, people don't have standards so much anymore. So God does, you know, and his standard is perfection. And this perfection is something that we have only because he was willing to give it. And, yeah, verse 20 again. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith. Do you want to be strengthened in your faith? Yeah, and he gave by giving glory to God, recognizing, acknowledging God, who God is, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. And that's why he was credited with righteousness. You know, he considered the reality. He wasn't, you know, going to deny reality. He just saw how big God was. And, you know, we learned that he wasn't always doing that, right? He didn't always live by faith, you know, even when he went to Egypt and said, I'm going to die. Tell them you're my sister. You know, he didn't. He had moments of weakness, just like we do. But when you persist and you keep growing, that's what we want to do, is grow in faith. That means we take these words and we say, these are more true than everything else I see around me. And boy, do we see things around us. You know, there's so many temptations in this life to not believe what God says. You know, even like just so many things. And what we're surrounded with and how we're, like even in business, you know, like, do you do business according to God's word? Or do you like use the little, you know, like there's gray areas? Yeah. God is God. We are not. We listen to what he says. We humble ourselves and we acknowledge that he is the source of everything. He is the source of life. He is the source of wisdom. He is the source of truth. So God has fulfilled his promise to Abraham, right? All peoples of the earth will be blessed, and that includes us. And verse 23 of chapter 4, it reads, the words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. So what has God laid before us to believe? He laid promises to Abraham, right, and what he needed to do. God laid a promise before us, and he says, simply accept the sacrifice of my son, Jesus Christ, and receive the righteousness. He was the full payment. So back in Romans, let's go to Romans 3 one more time. In verse 21 it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. There is no difference. And that's what God asks us to believe by faith. He wants us to accept his gift of righteousness by faith alone, by Christ, Jesus Christ. And he shows us that in this by the example of Abraham. As Abraham had faith and received righteousness, so we have faith and receive righteousness, and only by faith. So, you know, in summary, what has God taught us? We have no right to boast, right? There is nothing that we have or that we've done that could be good enough to receive anything from God, much less be made holy, cleansed, clean, filled with Holy Spirit, able to take care of each other, able to speak words that minister grace. None of that is anything that we could ever have by ourselves, and we can never boast when we do those things, because it's only by the grace of God that we have the ability to do it. We learn that Abraham's the father of all who believe, whether circumcised or not. Circumcision is that of the heart, you know. And it's a matter of the heart, not a matter of the flesh. You know, in a nutshell, we acknowledge that we're sinners with no hope, helpless, and we need a Savior. We acknowledge we're unable on our own to live without sinning. But God took all that sin away from us by the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're willing to receive what God gives us totally by faith. Totally. And faith is hearing words. We hear this all the time. Faith is hearing words from God and saying they are more true than what I think. You know, I may have my plans. There's nothing wrong with planning, you know, but if I have all my plans and my little agenda in a day, what if God tells me, go talk to Pauline? Am I going to say, well, wait a minute, God, I got to go do, I didn't clean this part yet, and I didn't do this yet. I do that a lot, but I'm learning not to do that. I'm learning to say, okay, drop this. What I want is not as important as what you have for me to do. You know, and it's been kind of fun. It's been, and I have to say, I can't say that I've not been doing it all my life, but, you know, I've been making a special effort lately, you know, that we live by faith and that it's not about me. You know, kind of like Josh was talking about all in faith. You know, I want to have all in faith. You know, I want to do what God wants me to do. I don't want to be afraid of being wrong. I don't want to be afraid of having so many things to do that I don't listen to my Heavenly Father and my Lord, you know. So as Abraham lifted up his eyes to God, we want to lift up our eyes to God. We want to take them off of ourselves and say, God Almighty, you know, God Almighty is the one that's able to bring to pass the impossible. If he asks me something impossible, maybe I think it's impossible, like teaching Romans 4, you know. Can he work still? You know, if I say, okay, can he work? Yeah, he can work in any of us to do anything we're asked. And that's what Romans 4 shows. He brings Abraham into the New Testament, into this new covenant way of living, this grace living. And he says, faith alone. Nothing that you could do, you can never be good enough, but faith and faith alone. And I've shown you by Abraham, and it's pretty awesome. So I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this incredible life that you've called us to. I pray, Father, for every single person in this room and for what you're working in their hearts. I thank you, God, for our humbleness before you, that we put aside ourselves and our fears and our inabilities, and we reach up to you, and we allow you to work, and we allow you to teach us. We allow you to strengthen us. Just thank you so, 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 so much. Amen.